Today on the Rising Coaches Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Rising Coaches Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Bender, and today's episode is brought to you in part by Connor Sports. Connor Sports, a world leader in sports services. It's the official floor of the Final Four and the Olympics. They do everything from NBA floors all the way to rec centers. Visit ConnorSports.com for more information and get yourself a new floor. Also, if you're not already a member and interested in joining the largest coaching tree in basketball, visit RisingCoaches.com to sign up today. You'll build genuine relationships with other coaches, have access to amazing content that will allow you to develop your craft, expand your network, and see job opportunities on our member site that don't get posted anywhere else. For more information, visit RisingCoaches.com. All right, today's special guest from UTSA, we have assistant coach Adam Hood. Welcome to the podcast, coach.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, excited to have you on. I know, really greatly appreciate your time. You're on vacation. Where are you at right now?
I'm actually out in Destin, so it's really nice. I like it. Sand's really nice. The white sand beaches. So again, it's a great place to be.
There you go. It's a weird time. We used to always, as coaches, get a little break when the students left in May, and we're not always able to take that now with the transfer portal and people signing. We used to say, hey, if you signed a kid in May or June, they were probably had a little bit issues. Now it's like, hey, I might get my best player in May, June, July.
No doubt. It's the truth. And again, we were fortunate to be able to be done. So again, have a little break here, getting out, get my toes in the sand here a little bit. So got permission from my wife, so I'm not a bad husband.
There you go. You did your work early, and now you're rewarded. So exactly. All right, tell us a little bit about your coaching journey, starting from, you know, from the beginning and how you got to the position you're in now.
Well, I'll start off. I mean, again, I went to the Air Force Academy, so you know, Colorado Springs, great area. I mean, my career was different. I wasn't a great player, but I was a part of some great teams. It was also fortunate because I had three coaches in 4 years. So again, that's normally, you know, it's either usually one or two things. We were doing really, really well. So guys got other opportunities and, you know, it was kind of a launching pad. And looking as a player, you didn't really realize it. You know, now as a coach, I'm like, man, that was a gold mine, you know, for a little bit there. Air Force was, you know, producing some really, really good coaches during that time period. So, I mean, did that, played 4 years at the academy. Again, was not a good player. Again, was just a part of a team that was good. Had some all-time greats I played with, which is good looking back now. Some of those guys getting recruited there now, look back at the banners hanging, and I'm like, oh, man, you know, you were part of those teams? I'm like, yeah, I was, you know, 10th, 11th, 12th man. But, you know, again, every now and then, you know, I'd throw a three in. But so, again, did that, and that helped me, though, now in coaching, having, you know, had three coaches in 4 years because, again, you have, you know, three different head coaches and then all those different assistant coaches. So then it helps kind of your network. And I know this business, and again, not that that's my favorite word, but networking is a piece of it. It's very, very important. But having, you know, that many coaches allowed me to know more people when I did decide to get into coaching. In the Air Force Academy, again, you got to serve 5 years in the Air Force. So again, that was something that, again, you sign up for. So I did project management for 5 years, 2.5 in San Antonio, 2.5 in Boston. I was able to, again, too, the Air Force definitely pushes you to do community service. So my community service was wrapped around basketball. So I was able to coach some AAU with the Middlesex Magic, who now all of a sudden everyone loves them and they're, you know, Under Armour, UAA. Mike Crotty does a great job. He allowed me to be a head coach in an organization because of my, you know, playing experience and just, again, being an Air Force officer. I mean, again, as people that he wanted around his program, and I thank him greatly that really, really got my feet wet. And then I was able to coach at one of the local high schools, Thayer Academy, when I was living in Boston. And again, they practiced right after I got off work, so I'd drive back home, go there, coach, and call it a day. But again, it was another opportunity to get my feet wet. And again, none of those places paid me, you know. And so again, luckily I was an Air Force officer, so I didn't need the money or anything of that sort. But it was great experience there. And from there, you know, again, those guys, you know, a couple of them were getting recruited by kind of Boston University. So I would go up there and again, I was still in shape. I haven't hooped in a while now, but back then I used to hoop. So I'd go up there and play. And so I was able to, one of the coaches I played for, Steve Snell, he's now on the staff at NC State. He knew Coach Joe Jones at Boston U, and he said, hey, one of my guys is going to come up there, you know, just introduce yourself. It's okay if he meets you and, you know, your staff. I was able to meet Joe Jones, and lo and behold, you know, maybe 3 to 6 months later, you know, I'm on his staff in a voluntary role as the special assistant to the head coach. And, you know, it was opportunity. Again, I was still Air Force active duty. So I'd go there after work and be there from 3 to 9, you know, and it was very, very, you know, great situation. Had some great teams there, learned a lot. And then I was able to do that for basically 2 years. My second year, I actually got out of the Air Force. So I took a huge pay cut from being an Air Force officer, which is about 75,000 to, you know, Joe Jones would give me 5,000 from camp. So, you know, so doing that wasn't, you know, again, everybody talks about their salaries and what they made their first job. That was what I made my first full-time job. And Joe Jones was fortunate enough. He got me a job as a security guard at night. So it didn't affect the day. So I was a security guard at night. And during the day, I was working, you know, on the staff at Boston University as a special assistant. So did that for 2 years. And then lo and behold, Kyle Smith, I ran him at the Final Four. He actually worked at Air Force for 8 months and recruited my brother. And my brother actually was a good player at Air Force. And Coach Smith never coached him, but he was able to make that connection, saw me. I was like, oh, yeah, you're Antoine Hood's brother. Yeah, you know, and he actually had a spot open and, you know, interviewed me. And I was able to land an opportunity there at Columbia. So I was there for 2 seasons. And then, again, we did really, really well. Won the CIT. We call it CIT National Champs. So we won the CIT. And he got an opportunity at San Francisco. That was kind of coast to coast for me. I'm from Texas. And Steve Henson had got on at UTSA. And, you know, again, he had known some mutual people. And so, again, he was able to allow me to interview. And I was able to land at UTSA. And I've been there ever since.
Quite the journey. I would say that I'm exhausted for you with all your extra work, extra duties, volunteer, security guard. I don't know when you slept.
Yeah, no, it's again to get where you're going. You people don't see it; they just see the finished product.
Yeah, definitely. It's always interesting to hear people's journey. I had a similar situation. So when I was in college, I was a manager. Well, my freshman year was Dan Munson. My sophomore year, it was Jim Molinari, and then my junior year, it was Tubby Smith. At the University of Minnesota. So I was able to see three different coaches and how they operated. Now, at 18, 19, 20 years old, you don't always know really all the intricacies going into how a program's run and things like that. But you get the surface value of what's going on. And I thought that really helped me as well in my head, you know, becoming a coach and climbing through this industry of seeing different perspectives. That's pretty cool. Tell us a little bit about, you know, you've been at a high academic, so Columbia. You've been in Air Force, so a military academy, and now you're at, you know, a mid-major school in Conference. They're in Conference USA still? We don't even know anymore. Okay.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, we're in Conference USA one more season, and then we're moving to the American. So.
Okay, awesome. Well, tell us about, you know, the differences, you know, at each place. And you didn't get recruited Air Force, but you lived that life. So talk a little bit about, you know, those three different stops with military, high academic, and then, you know, your standard public school there in Texas.
No, I mean, again, the military academy it's great. I mean, again, they put it one way. They said it's a great place to be from, not always a great place to be at, you know, because, again, they do have rules. They do have structure. You do have a curfew. You have to make your bed every day. But, again, there are habits that, you know, that follow you throughout your life. And now, again, I make my bed every day still, you know, so it's like, does that mean anything? No, but I'm starting the day with a win, you know, and that's what everybody, you know, you add up all the things of the day and hopefully you can win the day. And so that's something that's been ingrained with me, the discipline, the respect, respecting, sometimes in coaching, you know, you respect the position, maybe not so much the person, but you always respect the position. So if someone is a head coach, you may not agree with what they do, you may not agree with how they do it, but you have to respect the head coach because, again, that's a person of power and influence. And it's just something that you learn from being at a military institution and then being high academic, been at Columbia. I mean, it was great, man. Just the level of intellect that you're around on a daily basis. It's kind of crazy. You work there. People think, you know, they're like, oh, man, you must be smart. I'm like, no, I didn't go to Columbia. But, you know, but again, I work here and it is a great you know, situation. And, you know, President Barack Obama went there, you know, so, you know, it's something you sell on the, you know, when you're recruiting. And again, it does shrink your pool and it makes you work a little bit harder because you may be on a court and there may be only three guys on that court between both teams that can get into your school. So, you know, like, so you're not just, again, looking and finding diamonds in the rough. There has to be, you know, certain parameters that they meet before they can even, you know, get to that opportunity. So, I mean, again, it definitely makes you do your homework up front because the last thing you want to do is waste time. And then being in a mid-major school, UTSA, it's been awesome. I mean, just being able to get back, you know, again, to the whole gambit. You know, now I can go to a court and I can find a diamond in the rough. Because again, the academic, again, the great academic institution, don't get me wrong, but it's not of the caliber of an Ivy League or military academy. So it's great to be able to do that. I'm from Texas, so recruiting, you know, Texas kids is something that, you know, interests me, and I feel like it's something that I'm good at.
Yeah. Everything kind of makes sense. It's kind of clicked really well for you kind of through your journey. Tell us, like, why coaching? So a lot of people get, hey, what's your why? What's your purpose? Those things. But, like, for you, a lot of people get consumed in the money and they get consumed in the journey. And you literally paid your dues having served your whole military, you know, deal that when you signed your contract that you had to work for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And found ways to find what you love through the volunteer stuff and then evolved into it. And then you left a job that paid really well, that the benefits are, you know, you're going to be a six-figure income earner for the rest of your life. Yeah. So tell us why you got into coaching and, you know, what, how that's kind of impacted you.
I mean, again, and I know it's cliche, and again, I do a lot of quotes, but I mean, again, if you wouldn't do it for free, you shouldn't do it. You know, again, and that's kind of what I did. I gave my time for nothing in return. And so when you're putting your time towards something that's not, again, impacting your life financially, usually means there's a love for what you're doing. And so again, that's where I really found my passion and my why. It's like, what would I spend my time doing if there was nothing to gain from it? And I'm sitting there, I'm in the gym, I'm instructing kids, I'm trying to grow kids, trying to take them from adolescence to young adulthood. And those are things that, again, I found myself doing and spending my time toward. That wasn't what was paying me, you know? And so I thought that was kind of the sign that this is something that I love, this is something I enjoy doing and impacting the youth and being a part of that and being able to see people grow, you know, and that's the thing, you know, even through sports, there's so many life lessons that can be learned. And even myself, and again, I wasn't a great player, but I was a part of some great teams. So again, I know it's not always about yourself. It's about the big picture, you know, and then again, I was able to buy into something greater than myself. And when you can do that, it just really, really benefits you as a person. It makes life worthwhile when you can see impact, not just in yourself, but in others.
Definitely a great answer. And, you know, couldn't agree with you more, you know, in terms of all those things that you just said. There's, you said of like at the beginning of your intro, you talked about making your bed and habits. And I'm a big habitual guy of like trying to find things that, hey, find your why, find your purpose, build your habits every day. And, you know, like you said, win your day, win your 5 minutes, what happens in, you know, the last minute and the next minute, staying present, those types of things. Talk about habits where you've been around higher achiever people, and, you know, in the Air Force and in the Ivy League, and then how you've kind of utilized that in recruiting, especially trying to reverse some bad habits that a lot of kids have for, you know, young men have for 18 to 20 years when before you get to them.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, some of the great habits that, again, that I've found that have been successful are just the organization. I mean, again, finding how you get organized. And that's really, really important, because whether it's recruiting, whether it's, again, going to class, whether it's study hall, whether it's, I mean, again, planning vacation, you know, I mean, again, planning and being able to be organized to make sure that everything's getting done. Like, you need to find out how you stay organized, whether it's a checklist, whether it's, you know, Outlook, or whether it's, you know, just a daily list or whatever you need to do, just being organized. That is a very, very important skill of successful people. And I see people that are more organized get more stuff done. You know, it's one thing to be busy, but it's one thing to be productive, you know, and just because you're busy doesn't mean you're being productive.
Right.
So, you know, some people just want to be busy and want to stay busy. Like, man, he's always busy. But then what are you really getting done? And again, finding how you get that stuff done and how you know, again, organize yourself is so, so important. And then I think another big thing is how do you learn? You know, people learn in different ways. Some people are visual learners. Some people are audio learners. Some people need to do it. You know, some people need to, you know, walk through. And it's just like, okay, well, I can see someone else do it and I can do it, or I need to do it, or I can hear it. And you know, you need to learn how you learn. And you also need to learn how your players learn, because each player is different. At the end of the day, you want everyone to be on the same page so you can all be rowing in the same direction. So again, just figuring out how people learn and how you learn. And that's, you know, and that's same thing, piggyback off, how do you want to be coached? You know, some people, again, are motivated through not so much fear, but, you know, but consequences. You know, if you don't run this play right, you're going to run a lap. Some people need, you know, positive reinforcement. Hey, man, that was a great job. You did that really good. Man, keep doing that. And then some people, you know, again, just need different ways to be, you know, again, motivated and be able to do things the right way.
Definitely. Give us a few more, you know, from your time in the military or the Air Force that helped you, in essence, like become a better coach, become a better leader, become a better person. Things that you continue to use outside of habits, outside of, you know, understanding human beings, which I think is a huge part of leadership. And you just said some really positive things of, hey, yeah, how do I reach each individual person? Because you treat all of your players differently, but you treat them all. But how you treat them, some need you more than others. Some need, you know, a hug. Some need, you know, like you said, be yelled at, chewed out. Some need to be just shown what to do, and they're obedient, and obedience can be fun, and they do what they're supposed to do. What other things have you taken, you know, from leadership or from, you know, the stuff that they teach you? The best leaders in the world are teaching you things. What have you used for coaching, or what would you share with a coach?
I mean, Air Force Academy, I know we're really high on ourselves, but we do call it, I mean, they call it the leadership factory. And the reason why, though, is because, again, you're put in a leadership position at 19 years old. You know, again, you're a part of the cadet wing, but once you reach a sophomore, you're in charge. You know, so then you find out your leadership style at a young age. And again, I found out I'm an empathetic leader. You know, and you always talk about why. That's what I see what you did. I know what you did. Why did you do it? And that's what I need to find out. Why is that happening? Why are we making the same mistake? Why can't we get you to sprint hard, run in the wing? Why can't we get you to be study hall on time? You know, just things like that. The why, as opposed to just the act and event in itself. That was big for me to find out, you know, again, I'm an empathetic leader. And so I know how I lead young men. And then another thing too, which is very, very simple, but mess up, fess up. Like, don't try to hide it, man. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to, you know, like, we know as coaches, we know. We went through it. We've been through it. We've been your age. We know. We know, you know, we're going to find out. One way or another, we're going to find out. If you mess up, you fess up, you know, and you don't lie, like, just be honest, you know, and if we can walk through these walls and be honest with each other, we can grow as people, and the trust factor builds a lot faster. If I know that you have my best interest at heart, then I'm going to, again, play harder for you. I'm gonna trust you more. I'm gonna believe you when you say something, and I'm not gonna try to rock the boat or test you. We don't need to go through that phase. But I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not gonna be perfect. If I make a mistake, I'm gonna mess up. Hey, I ran that play wrong. I called the wrong play. I messed that up. I shouldn't have subbed you out. You're right. You know, and being, to make a mistake, again, own it. And that's something that I learned in the military and something I've carried to myself. I hope my players would say if I made a mistake or if I did something wrong, I'm the first one to raise my hand and say, hey, I messed that up, guys.
Yeah, I think ownership in our actions is so important. And, you know, it's important that we not only do that, but model the way for our players. If they can see you doing it, and doing what you're saying and doing it, like, it's just so important for us to model the way as people, as leaders, to, you know, take ownership of all that type of stuff. How about as an assistant coach? So, like, the stuff you're saying is extremely powerful and we all agree with it. You know, you work for different people, like you said, or played for, and you talk about some of the leadership stuff, but how about as an assistant coach, how can you have a great impact on culture and help your head coach, you know, in terms of developing those leadership qualities as well, because they may not possess the same experiences that you have and may not do things the exact same way. So how does that kind of come into play?
I mean, again, that's something, again, I always lean on, again, the person. Because, again, at the end of the day, again, you are a head coach. So, again, it's your vision. It's not my vision. This isn't my show. My job is to make Steve Henson look the best he can possibly look. And that is my job, an assistant coach. And you find that out through, again, pointed, directed, informational questions. If there's something that I don't know, I need to ask. I can't be afraid to ask because, again, it's his vision, it's your program. And being an assistant coach is my job to carry out his vision. Whether I agree with it or not, again, sometimes you may have behind closed doors discussions. But once that door opens up, we're all on the same page. We're all saying the same thing, whether I was one of the ones that voted for or against it. You know, and I'm not talking about anything big, but, you know, maybe I want to press. You don't. you know, and so therefore I'm going to give my, you know, Coach Henson's great. He gives everybody, gives feedback. Then today he's a decision maker. My job is to bring options and opportunities. Same way with recruiting. Every recruit I brought to the table, I've loved, you know, but again, it may not be a part of what he's envisioning that positioning, you know, looking like, or that skill set looking like, or that personality looking like. So again, at the end of the day, it's being accountable to what his vision is. And so as an assistant coach, again, you bring options and he makes the decisions. And then once those decisions are made, you are all in. And so when you are all in, whether it was your idea or not, if you embrace it that way and you sell it that way, and again, you come off that way, then again, you are, again, an all-in assistant coach. And those are the things that, again, allow an organization or a program to be great.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's something that we need to constantly be reminded of. And, you know, me being a head coach, and I haven't been an assistant in 5 years, like hearing that is like extremely refreshing. And not saying the guys that I've worked with haven't been like that, because they have been really productive and helped mold me not only as a coach but as a person. But there's so much of that that goes into being on the same foot. You know, being on the same page when, you know, it's not I'm right, you're wrong, I'm right. It's, hey, when we leave this meeting, when we leave this huddle, are we all walking in the same direction? And then moving forward with it all, I think it's really, really cool that you're able to keep that stuff in perspective and help your head coach and do those types of things. You said the word in informational questions. And I think one part of being a great leader is asking really good questions. So you have like a list of, you know, go-to questions that you like to ask. You talked about why, figuring out why kids are the way that they are. Why did you make that decision? Why were you late? Not so much the fact that you were late, but what goes into how can we make you have those better habits? What are some of your favorite questions that you like to ask to kind of get information or to kind of lead people into giving you some intel to help you help them?
Yeah. No, again, and it usually always starts with recruiting, you know, and I, again, maybe it's right or wrong, but I ask kids, how do you want to be recruited? Do you want me to hit you up every day? Do you want me to call you? Do you want me to text you? Do you want me to Zoom you? Do I need to Zoom your mom, your dad? Who do you want me to talk to? You want me to talk to your mom, your dad? You want me to talk to your AAU coach? You want me to talk to your, you know, junior college coach? Who do you want me to talk to? How do you want me to recruit you? Do you like graphics with, you know, do you want that? You want you on top of the, you know, the Alamo Dome, you know, the rule of the city. Is that something that interests you? And so, again, I asked them how they want to be recruited, how they want to be communicated with, because sometimes, you know, you don't ask and you just do what you're used to. And maybe they're a texter and they're not a caller. Maybe they're a caller and they're not a texter. If you're not, again, on their same way, maybe they used Snapchat. Maybe they want that. Hey, do you like funny videos? You know, some people do, some people don't. Nah, coach, I'm, you know. And so, again, getting those things organized and then being able to keep track of which kid wants to be recruited which way, you know, and then it can save you some time and it can kind of set you apart from people who never ask that question. So, again, that's one of my big ones to ask, you know, again, young kids, because, again, they have a million different things that they do, you know, and so asking them, you know, hey, is it okay if I follow you on Instagram? Oh, no, coach, that, hey, is it okay if I follow you on Snapchat? No, coach, that's for my friends, you know, and they say, oh, Twitter's for coaches, you know, Instagram's for, you know, and Snapchat's for my close friends, Instagram's for, like, you know, I guess associates, you know. So, again, just getting their viewpoint on different things early on in the process, again, helps kind of separate how to treat them in the recruiting process. And so, again, I wish I was, you know, again, able to read their minds, but asking question like that, I feel like kind of gives you some ground.
Yeah, really cool. I kind of keep a three question motto of like, hey, who's helping you make your decision? Who's, you know, what are you looking for in a school? You know, you add in time frame or who's recruiting you, kind of gives you a vibe of what they're kind of looking for and when. But I've never asked, you know, how do you want to be communicated with? I think that's a really powerful one. I might add that to my bag of questions.
Oh, yeah. We all steal from each other. So nothing's original. You know, and that's the thing, too. Like, it's hard to be a super original. It's just, again, finding the right people to borrow stuff from and everything. That's what I always tell. And, again, Steve Henson's a great offensive mind. And I tell people that. I tell recruits that. I tell the coaches that. But it's still not something you've never seen before. You know, so again, the way he does it and the collection of plays that we have that work and you know, again, an awesome way. Like that right there could be proprietary, but again, just the whole, but you know, I mean, the bits and the pieces, again, have been seen before.
Yeah. You talked about things being stolen, but I found, you know, one thing that attracted me to you as a person and a coach is your social media, what you post, your authenticity, you know, also what your values are as a person. You know, I know you've been involved with Coaches for Change and different things. Talk a little bit about that and how you present that in a, not only how you live, but how you present yourself publicly through Twitter, through other social medias, and then where can we find you if people are interested in learning more?
Yeah, no, I mean, again, and social media is again, it can be a good place. Obviously, there's a lot of individualism in that. But again, my messaging there is, it's again, I just try to be myself. And again, I'm positive. The glass is always half full. And I heard a great kind of reference, you know, about just the opportunity of waking up every day. You know, it's like, would you have $1 million for a day and be done and just for a day? And then you exist no longer. Or would you want to not have $1 million, but then you get to wake up the next day? Probably would say, I want to wake up the next day. And so then why don't you act like you have $1 million then? Because you're turning down $1 million for a day to be able to wake up. So you turn down $1 million to be able to wake up the next day. You know, and so the things like that, I mean, again, they're powerful. And again, I saw that on YouTube, you know, but I mean, again, just trying to be positive, trying to change people's perspective. Because it's not always what you're doing, it's how you're looking at it. And that's what a lot of people don't realize, that, dude, you're blessed. I mean, obviously, I'm Christian. I grew up Christian, you know, so I do reference God. And I know that's not for everybody. And again, I would never throw that on someone that doesn't want it. You know, even in recruiting process, I say, you know, maybe hopefully there's something guiding you. You know, some people call it your gut. You know what I mean? Again, I'm religious, so I think it's, you know, again, has a religious undertone. But hopefully something in your gut's telling you what to do, you know, when it's time to make a big decision, whether it's changing majors, whether it's committing to a school, whether it's who you're going to marry. Whether it's, again, we're going to vacation, you know, again, or, but, you know, whatever the case may be, it's just, you know, again, that's something that I am, you know, again, I'm not running from, and I'm not going to allow that to make it, you know, be negative that I am a Christian. So, I mean, again, I do that. I try to be positive. And then some of the other things I try to do is I try to, again, change the perspective of, you know, everybody says everybody's haters. We're not really thinking about hating on you. Well, yeah, but then there are also people that believe in you. So what about those people? What about proving them right? You know, I posted that, you know, recently because I heard someone just, you know, again, they were like, oh man, they hate Noma. They're doing this, they're doing that. And I'm like, well, yeah, but what about me? I think you're good. I think you're a good person. I think you're going to do great. So why don't you prove me right as opposed to trying to prove people wrong? What motivates you? And again, sometimes people are motivated by that. But then sometimes people are motivated by support. So again, just throwing a blanket over everyone is something that I've never tried to do. Everybody's different. Everybody has different things that motivate them and allow them to be great. And I feel like there's greatness in everyone.
That's cool. That's special. I think that's really awesome. Is there, this is a Rising Coaches podcast. And even though, you know, there's a variety of coaches and we're all getting kind of a little bit older, the originators of this thing are starting to get, you know, close and head jobs and different things. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, is there anything that you would give advice to younger guys or, you know, give us a 24-hour challenge as a coach to think about or to kind of press through this, you know, industry that is a great profession, but sometimes not always the best business.
I mean, again, I think, again, some of the things that are important, I mean, Rising Coaches, again, obviously networking is important. I mean, again, and we've spoken about that. I mentioned that before. But again, the people that you're around, again, if you get around the right people, the right things start to happen. So again, I would preach to, and again, and you know, I mean, again, you know, good people. And if you're getting in this business, again, hopefully you're getting in for the right reasons. But again, if you're getting around good people, that's the start of it. I mean, whether they're getting paid, not getting paid, again, just getting around good people and growing with those people. And I think that's important as far as just getting, again, in the right, quote unquote, the right circles. Well, I feel like if you're able to identify those people early, you have an idea of some of the people that are going to be successful in this business and sometimes just successful in anything that they do. It's not just this business. You can't just pigeonhole it or close it, you know, down to that. So, I mean, I feel like getting around good people is something that's really, really important. And the challenge would be trying to do something for someone else. You know what I mean? Because again, most of the time, even when job openings happen, Like most of the time, if you listen to it and you're like, oh, okay, like if I heard an operations job open, well, I'm an assistant coach, so I'm probably not going to be interested in operations job. But do I know someone that would be? Is there someone that I can maybe help or get them involved in something that I'm not interested in, as opposed to pushing it to the side because I'm not interested? You know, and those are type of things that as you get older, as you see it, as you experience it, you know, you stop thinking just about yourself and you think about other people. So think about pushing someone else, and who would push you, and who would think of you enough to, number one, promote you. And there's another thing too, who would hire you? Would you hire you? You know, and so those are the type of things you have to think about as you're going through this and just challenge yourself. Why would I hire myself? Why wouldn't I hire myself? Why would this person, you know, and even ask your friends, whether they're lateral to you or above you, you know, what do you think of me? What's holding me back? What's pushing me forward? What makes me unique? What is my value? And those are things that are important. And those are things that, again, I would challenge other young coaches to think about.
Yeah, I think that's good. You asked some really practical questions there. You know, the what is holding me back? Like, what are other people saying? Because we only think about ourselves.
Yeah.
On so many things of like, hey, that coach should hire me because I'm from there. I know this guy. I can get you this player. Nah. Yes. What is it the head coach needs? How do you feel what they need? You know, are you able to, you know, not only, you know, sometimes it's a matter of checking a box. It may be that simple. Sometimes it is a matter of, hey, you're the best candidate for the job. Maybe I'm just hiring good people, like you said.
Yes.
You know, to hire good people, because at the end of the day, a lot of people can do different jobs. It's just a matter of, can you trust them? Are they going to be loyal? Are they going to do all those things that matter in our coaching industry and trusting you with our careers? Because our careers have now shrunk. You have a 3 to 5 year window instead of a 4 to 6 year window. And even that is even worse at times. So give us something, you know, a lesson that's taken you a long time to learn, or maybe something that you believe in that others may think is weird or different.
I would say the hardest lesson to learn is kind of compound interest, in my opinion, because again, you put in every day, and you work hard, and you think, you know, eventually you just don't know when it's going to pay off, you know? So it's like, you build. And again, you think, you know, again, it's unpredictable. You don't know when it's going to pay off, but you know that those deposits are adding to you and it's adding to your situation. So again, I would say that's kind of the hardest part, when you don't may not see the return immediately. So therefore, each incremental day, you don't know how much that is, but you know that it's positive and it's allowing you to be something, and there is a bigger picture. So I would say kind of compound interest and not knowing it, kind of, you know, not knowing when it's going to pay off. I think that's something that's, you know, that, again, people don't see immediate results, and they think, is this working? Am I doing the right stuff? You know if you're doing the right stuff, and if you keep doing the right stuff, it may not pay off when you want to. You know, it's all, and again, I'm a religious person, so, you know, I mean, God may not be there when you want him, but he's always on time.
Yeah. You, everything happens for a reason.
Yes.
I'm a big believer in that. It's just kind of what it is. All right, our last question, as we wrap up here, I know you got to get back to vacation. You're doing a great job of being present
right now. Like, hey, we got to go to the beach. So I'm not.
All right. Last question. What's the best thing in your life that can happen right now?
I'm actually about to have another kid. I have a little daughter come in August. We don't have a name yet. So the best thing that could happen is we're walking on the beach, someone whispering some names, and we're like, oh, that's it. That's the name. And because again, having the name, that's everything, man. And right now we don't have one. We have a couple options, but that would be awesome if we could nail that down on this trip.
Well, that sounds great to me. Well, I really appreciate your time. Any last words of anything for our listeners, or anything else you want to get off your chest? Or
I mean, again, just go be great. You know, that's it. You know, I mean, again, nothing's holding you back. Again, no one cares more about you than you. So again, make sure that you're not any obstacle in your own way. So get yourself out of your own way and be great.
There you go. Words of wisdom, Coach Adam Hood, UTSA. Thank you so much for your time, and you keep being great as well.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Brian. All right. Take it easy.